Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me, the Lord says. Have you noticed that there is something special? When you hold someone's hand, there is a special bond that takes place. Have you noticed that before? When that timid boy holds that hand of that blushing girl for the first time, something special. When an elderly couple clasps hands for the very last time, something special about holding someone's hand. I need to give credit where credit is due. The idea for this sermon came to me about 3 weeks ago from a friend up in Michigan. He sent me an audio file of Dwight Nelson, and it had an impact on me, and I thought that I would share his thoughts with you this morning. Very moving about the hand of God. I remember holding the hand of my grandfather. A big hand, strong and veinous hand. And I remember holding him when I was younger, and my hand just kind of fit in there. It was just swallowed by his hand. And to this day, you know, my hands are wimpy in comparison to his hands. But I remember holding his hands. And this morning, I wish that I could take your hand and clasp it to the hands of your Heavenly Father. Just take your hand and put your hand in His hand. You guys have seen that famous painting by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, that moment in creation with God and Adam, and those fingers are just about to touch. Don't you wish that was you and God was reaching out to touch your hand? That would be wonderful. Have you guys seen a picture of the hand of God? I want to share two powerful portrayals of the hand of God with you this morning. Two of the most powerful portrayals of the hand of God in all of human literature. And I think you will be blessed today. And they're both found atop two summits, two mountains. So we want to look at summit number one. You take your Bibles, go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 31. The hand of God. Because I would like to see the hand of God this morning, and I know you would like to see the hand of God this morning. Amen? Exodus 31, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, the Ten Commandments, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now, go down just a little bit further in Exodus 32, verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. Amen? And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Have you ever wondered what that moment must have been like? You ever thought about what that moment must have been like? What did it feel like to see the hand of God chisel away at that mountain granite? Those of you who have seen Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments have a good picture in your mind. And once you see that, you won't forget it. And I would like to share that with you this morning. I just want you to watch the screen and get a feeling for what's going on with me.
All right.
That's what we know for certain, for sure, that the only autograph, self-writing, the only autograph of God that we have was on those two tablets of stone. The only autograph that we have from God, attributable to Him in all of human scripture, are these Ten Commandments. He wrote them all with His hand. Did He use His index finger? I don't know. Moses writes and says that it was with His divine finger that He wrote these Ten Commandments, which surely says something about their authority for all of humanity until the end of time. Amen. As Ted Koppel would say, Moses did not come down from that mountain with the Ten Suggestions. Amen. Not the Ten Suggestions, the Ten Commandments. So they're God's Ten Commandments, and they're for your security. Amen. They're for your happiness, but we disregard them and we disobey them to our great harm and loss, right? God says, if you do this, you will live. If you don't do this, you will die. So we live in an age, really, that is in blatant disregard for God's law. In fact, you know of some Christians who will say, you know, the Ten Commandments are nothing, are no more, and they forget the truth of that first mountain, and that's that the hand of God wrote those Ten Commandments. Amen. So let's go to the second mountain. The truth of that mountain or that summit is really simple, and that is that there really was a hand on that mountain. There really was a hand on top of that second mountain. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Which also means, by the way, that because of the virgin birth, God now has a hand, or had a hand like Caleb's. Isn't that neat? Had a hand like yours, Don. Just like mine. He had the hands of an infant when it's born. It had the hands of a 5 and 6 year old child. He had the hands of a teenager, the hands of a young adult. He had the hands of a man in his 30s. Now, he didn't live longer than his 30s, did he? But had he lived long enough, he only lived long enough to die for you and I. But had he lived long enough, he would have had hands that look like yours, like some of you. Look at your hands. You know, Jesus had hands just like yours, just like mine. So he's on top of that second sacred mountain, and we find a hand there. I want you to look at a few texts with me. Pretty graphic texts. They're not found in the Gospels, amazingly. They're found in the Old Testament. That show a description to you of the second hand. Psalms 22. Psalms 22. What happened to the hand of God on top of that second mountain? Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Go to verse 1 of that same chapter. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ah, we know what's going on, right? He's on that Mount Calvary. And so we know what's going on there. The second picture I want to show you from the Old Testament is found with the gospel prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, a well-known chapter to you and I. Isaiah chapter 53. And when you get there, scroll down to verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The second picture
in the Old Testament of that hand atop that that sacred mountain. The third picture I want you to see, Zechariah chapter 12, just before Malachi, Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, just before Malachi. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Now here we go. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. What's going on there? Go down to verse 1 of chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for what? For sin and for uncleanness. There it is, church. This fountain of sin that is opened up for sin and for filthiness, uncleanness. So you have atop the mountain, he is wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, he is pierced, he is encompassed by dogs, the scripture says. The chastisement of our peace. I want to show you a second video clip of that hand. I just want you to watch that hand. Can you turn the lights on again, please? Just watch the hand. I want to share with you from one of my favorite books. As the spikes were driven through the tender flesh, his hands stretched upon the cross, the hammer and nails were brought. The Savior made no murmur of complaint. His face remained calm and serene. The hand of God on top that second mountain. Never forget that hand, folks. Never forget the hand. Get the lights, please. Sinai's finger that wrote those Ten Commandments, is that hand that wrote in stone, is the same hand that was nailed in the wood. That should tell us something. When we hear of trying to pit one mountain against the other. On one mountain we have life given through the law, and on the other mountain we have the law preserved through the giving of his life. Amen. Yes. That hand that wrote in stone was nailed to the wood. You can't separate Sinai and Calvary. Both are intertwined. Both are connected. Yes. And both mountains, by the way, react in the same way to the presence of God. You have earthquakes and thundering and lightning. All react in the same way. You cannot separate them because it's the same God. It's the same hands. It's the same truth. And the truth is that very good news that I need, that my law-breaking heart needs, the same truth that your law-breaking heart needs, is that hand of God, He loved us so much that with his very hand, he gave me life in the tablets of stone and upon Calvary for me and for you here today out of everlasting love. And we realize that's the hand of our Savior. Amen. With the verse that I began with this morning, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." He says, "Behold, look. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." My friends, if your hand And when somebody engraves the name of a sinner upon their hand, that must mean that they are loved very, very, very much. There was a letter that was written in 1904 to a dying woman. Put your entire trust in Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Marianne, if you go before I do, we shall know each other there. We shall see as we are seen and know as we are known. Just let the peace of Christ come into your soul. Be true in your trust because He is true to His promise. Lay your poor, nervous hand in His firm hand and let Him hold you and strengthen you and cheer you and comfort you. I will now get ready to leave this place. Oh, I wish I were with you in this moment. In much love. At the outset of this, I tell you that my wish was that I could place your hand in the hands of your Savior, of your God. I want to hold that nail-scarred hand this morning. Do you? I want to hold that nail-scarred hand this morning. And you know, today I may, and today you may as well. Because that same hand that hands you the bread and the cup and whispers in your ear, do this in remembrance of me, is that same hand that was atop that first summit, Mount Sinai, and that second summit, Mount Calvary. That nail-scarred hand that we can hold this morning. And as we do that this morning, I would pray that you would hold on to the hand just a little longer than you usually do. And just spend some time in prayer holding that hand, because as you have noticed, there's something special when you hold the hands of someone else. A special bond. And we can have that special bond with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as He hands us the bread and the cup, as we participate in the bread and the cup, as we participate in the towel as well this morning. Same hand that was on Mount Sinai, same hand that was on Mount Calvary, same hand that washed those 12 pairs of feet. And He says, you know who I am, you call me master and servant, yet I do this. You know, if I do it, then you also ought to do this to one another. The command to love one another, to serve one another. And this morning we participate in that communion service, the Lord's Supper, remembering that sacrifice on Mount Calvary, where He preserves life for all of humanity. Would you join me in prayer, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your hand that is seen upon Mount Sinai. Thank You for Your hand that was seen upon Mount Calvary. The giving of life by the giving of the law, the preservation of law by giving Your life. Lord, we're so thankful for that. And this morning we remember that great sacrifice that You made for us, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, that as we extend our hands out to You, that You would hold us closely, just very dearly next to You. In Thy name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will separate. For those of you who are visitors today, this is what we typically call Communion Sabbath. And we participate in the emblems, which you see behind me, that are covered. But before that, it also is custom for us to participate in the ordinance of humility, which is the washing of one another's feet. And so, just as our Savior did on that Thursday night, we participate as well. And the ladies will meet in the fellowship hall, and the gentlemen will meet in the side room here. And when we're complete with that, we'll meet back here to finish our service. You're dismissed.